Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ronan O'Reilly is with me. He's the Managing Director of New Key Homes. And Ronan has suggested that within 100 days, you could entirely reboot the housing system so that the housing crisis might ultimately be solved. And people can find Ronan actually online on X, for example, and he sets all this out in great detail. But he's with me here in studio to talk through some of it. Ronan, we won't go through day by day. We don't have time for 100 days. But let's start then by issue maybe, because you address all of this in your thread and in you in the ways you suggest we solve the problem. Labour force constraint, something we often talk about. How do you go about solving that problem?
Yeah, well, we have to open the floodgates a little bit for skilled labour coming into Ireland. And the same way we are welcomed into Australia as skilled labour to build housing there and build whatnot in there as well. Like, principally, we have to zone more land. But what the curve we need to get ahead of once we zone more land is to have the labour then to build out the housing that's needed. So to get ahead of that curve is to now open the floodgates, as I say, for skilled labourers, whether they come from Brazil, Philippines, China. As long as they're skilled and come in and help us in this crisis, then we support them coming in here.
And I know friends of mine who would have done this work abroad, big infrastructure projects, for example, in the Netherlands, and one of them lived in a ship, actually, out in Rotterdam, out in the harbour, which is often not the objection people raise, but rather the problem people raise when people talk about, you know, bringing in skilled workers. They say, well, where are we going to put them?
Yeah, true. Like, but there, you have to think outside the box a little bit. Like, we possibly have a lot of monasteries that possibly could give up for better use of their space. We have, look, I'm a golfer. There's plenty of driving ranges in a suburban setting, which really are not needed anymore. We have other ways to deal with that, with like the trackman and whatnot. But those kind of facilities like golf ranges, they're not needed. Why can't we put those in for an immediate requirement for building housing for frontline workers, whether they be nurses, guards, skilled labourers going to help deliver these homes? Anything like that that would significantly improve the viability of getting this labour here. We've one principal one in front of us in terms of, say, the National Children's Hospital. We're probably going to have 4,000 new staff coming into that. And I'm sure, okay, there'll be people coming out of the other paediatric hospitals within the city. But where's that new staff going to live for this huge investment we're putting into the city? Are we thinking about that? Like, there's a question you might ask, like, why, when we're putting in a hospital of that size, are we not considering housing? And the simple probable answer is, we're expecting the housing market to run naturally, I suppose. And at the moment, it's held up. It's not running in a normal functioning environment.
I'm conscious as well of people living in hotels for the last few years. And I'm not talking about homeless Irish people, but maybe people who've sought asylum here, or people who had refugee status by virtue of being Ukrainian. And whether some of that space might be freed up, because the number of asylum applicants is down, and if there's peace in Ukraine, not everybody is going to move home to Ukraine. So for some people, here is now home, but some of that space might be freed up.
Sure.
And you think, you know what, maybe that's where you put your Chinese or Filipino or Brazilian workers.
Sure, and we've army barracks and things like that that may be not being fully utilised. It's just thinking that bit extra of how we can place these people in the right locations within the city or within a distance of the city that's commutable.
All right. So that's labour. So open the floodgates, visas for highly skilled workers, and just think outside the box, find somewhere for them to live while they build the houses we need. So that's the kind of the first issue. The other issue, and you mentioned that there was land and zoning. Mm-hmm. So when we speak to developers, we had Michael O'Flynn on the show not too long ago, and this was the thing he talked about. He said, the biggest problem we face is a lack of zoned land.
Absolutely.
So how would you solve that problem?
Well, as I said in the thread that I put out, is I'd give the councils, the 26 counties, to come up within 2 weeks of a list of locations within their county that can deliver a minimum of 15,000 units. And I think, you know, given, you know, there's planning teams in all of these counties, there's senior planners, there's the directors of planning, they all should be on their fingertips, be able to, within 2 weeks, to place those. Now, I know there's a regulation to go through, but really and truly, if we call this an emergency and stop calling it a housing crisis, it's a housing emergency, we need to get real about delivering some of these things. And I've no doubt that the councils are competent enough to do that in that space of time. And after that 2 weeks, take a week into the department, assessing, going through those motions. And then at the end of that, if it's signed off by government, go and get the CEOs to start zoning that land. Mm. So I think, like, within that as well, Kieran, on your first point of labour, we could designate areas that would be, as say, for frontline workers. So we have SDZ, strategic development zones, which is, you know, is government zoned areas where they want high density built immediately. We could also put a part of that which would bring in for frontline workers, which would ease up that labour issue.
Okay, so that 2 week period to identify land, and one would imagine most competent local authorities, you know, already have an idea at any given moment of what land is going to be or needs to be zoned next. It's not kind of going to be news to them. They know their local area. And let me ask you then about servicing that land, the kind of critical infrastructure. So this is getting a lot of attention lately with, you know, Irish Water talking about kind of shortcomings in their system and it having a knock-on impact on housing plans. What do we do there?
Yeah, well, like, it's quite well known. Whether it's Ishka, whether it's the ESB, whether it's the NTA, they all need billions, several billions. But there is mechanisms that have been utilised in other countries. We bring in private capital, whether that be the Brookfield or Blackstones of this world, and utilise the money that's out there, put it in bonds out through the Irish market. But I think the likes of a housing czar, if they want to come in and do something, that's a position I would probably frame them into, in terms of getting into that infrastructure piece, into the utilities, pull them all into a room and say, okay, how are we going to solve this? Where is the areas that we immediately need to address, and what's the funding requirement?
Yeah.
Can we go out then and raise that funding in international markets? There is ways of solving this, but we need to make decisions to allow it to be solved.
Yeah, not to get into kind of debates again about the housing czar, but it does strike me. I mean, that's what the activation unit, or what the Housing Commission called something else, was ultimately designed to do. Political rows about the czar, but I mean, ultimately people do seem to agree that you need some sort of unit or body to get everybody together.
You need someone with power that can make them calls, whether that's the Minister of Housing or that's someone else, but you need somebody in the middle that can make them calls around that table, with powerful people in those, like, they're huge organisations, Ishka and ESB, etc. So we need someone to be able to tackle that, but not afraid to pull the trigger and get on with it.
Can I ask you just in the time we've left about a few other issues, say beyond kind of infrastructure and the servicing of sites and the zoning of land and labour shortages? What about tax breaks? There was a suggestion the government are going to look at maybe version of Section 23 tax breaks again. Then it was off the table, and now it's unclear.
Yeah, well, I think for small scale investors, Section 23 would work. If there was teachers out there who were lucky enough to have a property, and in time had the ability to possibly get a property or get an apartment that someone can rent, I definitely support that. But there is other mechanisms that have been used in other parts of the world. In the US, they have a low income housing tax credit, and that effectively is an authority within government that sets out targeted areas that you deliver at cost and at speed. And what it does for developers is, if you go in, if this was put together by the HFA, the Housing Finance Agency, they could be the gatekeepers of this, where I come in as a developer and say, look, I have 100 units I can deliver in this location. I'll deliver it at this cost, I'll deliver it in this time frame, and it's going to meet your demand in terms of quantum. That they will turn around and, one, agree that, but in agreeing it, what the process is you get a tax break. That tax break, let's call it just simple numbers for a moment. Let's say it was €10,000 a door and you had 100 units, it's €1 million. What happens in that structure in the States is that €1 million can be sold to the private market or to institutions. That might be sold at 900,000, so the institutions are up 100 grand. But it gives the developer an immediate injection of equity, which helps get these units ultimately built. If that can change the IRR and the funds, if we're building apartments, these apartment blocks need a hell of a lot of cash. And we, like myself, has to bring in institutional capital or investors in order to deliver those sites. So that would make a difference in trying to make them more viable.
What about the planning system? Do we need to revisit planning reform?
I think we've talked endlessly about planning reform. I just want to really get on with it now. Allow us to deliver more units. So I think the zoning is principally what I'd like to see. And then obviously the ability to attract labour to build out once we get the planning on those. Like the planning system, we have to have we live in a democracy, so we have to go through that. But we can't go through planning if we don't have land that's zoned to take it to planning, you know?
Well, listen, I said this is all laid out on Ronan's Twitter or X account, Ronan O'Reilly. If you just look for that on X, you'll find him there. And it's how to do all of this, or start the process, certainly, to get to the point you can do all of this within 100 days. Ronan O'Reilly is the Managing Director of New Key Homes. Ronan, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.